thought for sure I was going to get to hear Brother Steve tonight. But we appreciate being back with you again here at the New Mission Church and with friends and family. And we're just glad to hear about the good services you had over the weekend. And I always love to hear good reports, don't you?
Oh, yes.
And I've noticed through the years there's been a lot of times that maybe wherever we were, you were, there was a good service, and then over a period of the next day or two or three, you might find out the Lord visited several other churches right around close.
Oh, yes.
And other people had good services also. And I love to feel that good Spirit of God, don't you?
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know of anything like it. There is nothing else like it. And I'm glad to be acquainted with the Lord in the small measure that I am. One day I plan to see Him face to face. And that's our hope and our great aim and desire. Thank the Lord. But I won't tell Brother Steve that he may have kind of checked out on me for a couple of days this week. But I'm going to leave you plenty. There'll be plenty when I'm gone. So you can catch up, I guess. But some of the work that I was doing was so tedious it really didn't call for any help. It seemed like nearly every piece had to be cut, you know. And that's kind of the way it is sometimes. But I appreciate Brother Steve helping me like he has this week. Last week we didn't plan on being here this long, but we had our pickup worked on that first week we were here. We had air conditioning problems, and they fixed it that day. I took it up there, and when the mechanic was back in the truck out of the shop, he hit something, and they come and got me and told me about it, showed it to me, and I appreciated that because, you know, I might not have seen it and thought it would have been done somewhere else and all that. So we didn't get our truck out of the body shop till yesterday evening late. So we people have been calling wondering where we was at, and I said, I'm broke down. And we're planning on leaving out Saturday morning, I guess, maybe Friday evening, I don't know. We'll start revival down at Brushy Mountain out north of Salisaw Saturday night. And we just want to tell you that we really enjoy getting to be with you. What little time we have here these last two or three weeks. And we appreciate everyone here. Appreciate everybody and the work that's being done. And all I can say is courage. Keep working. Keep laboring, going on, and one of these days we'll get to the end of the journey.
Thank you, Lord.
And that'll be a great day for us when we get there.
Yes,
be a great day.
Yes, sir.
Thank the Lord. Well, you pray for us. I didn't get as much work done today as I planned on doing. I run out of material, and they didn't get it delivered till pretty late this evening. But I'm real tired tonight, so y'all pray for me. Just tired. And so in the book of Luke, we'd like to read in maybe in chapter 17. And the disciples here, the apostles, it said, they asked the Lord a great question. And so 17 and verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I don't know of anything more that we really need than greater faith, because the Bible said that without faith it's impossible to please God. And they that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so faith is the victory that overcomes this world. And so faith is extremely important, isn't it? And aren't you glad you have the faith that you have? And if you're like me, that's my request to the Lord too. Increase my faith. So they ask him, increase our faith. And the Lord said in answer to their question, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, I don't know how I'd have felt if the Lord had stopped there about faith when I asked him to increase my faith, and he began to tell me then what could be done through faith that I probably didn't feel like I had. It's kind of like we were down at Cotra Mission over the weekend, and one of the sisters there with a young child, I forget, 7, 8, maybe years old, 9, I don't know. Someone maybe was preaching on the beast power, the beast reign that's coming, maybe not too long ago. And this young child got his mother's attention and said, I just don't know if I've got what I need to go through that. And that was from a young child. But we're facing the end, and there's a lot of things that we've read about that's worrisome to us about the end of time, things that must come to pass. And I believe we're going to need a great deal of faith, don't you? So Jesus just told his disciples about what faith can do. But then he went on. He didn't stop there. And he said, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? He said, I trow not, or I think not, or I suppose not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, have you figured out where faith is in that? How did he increase their faith? With those words that he spoke to them. And I'm sure he was answering them, Brother Bruce. I believe he was getting right down to the heart of the matter. And he told them what could be done through faith. And there's been times that you and I have found that kind of faith to move the mountain.
Oh, yes.
He said a sycamine tree here, another place. He spoke about mountains. And I'd like to be a mountain mover, wouldn't you? I know a lot of mountains in this world that are huge, big, great things that seem like cannot be surmounted. And yet, with God, all things are possible. So he speaks to his disciples then about a servant. And Jesus said that he didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. And he himself gave a great example at that Last Supper with his disciples. When they finished with that supper, he laid aside his garments and took a towel and some water and washed their feet. The Son of God, humbling himself, bowing low, becoming a servant unto men. And he told them that what he had done for them to do likewise. So here he speaks to them about being a servant and said, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we can't just say how wonderful I am, but just say we are unprofitable servants. And we have done that which was
our duty
to do.
Yes.
Oh, yes. In the book of Micah, you know this old verse of scripture well. But in 6 and verse 8, he hath shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. This is the Old Testament speaking here, but I want to come back to that in a moment, but let me turn to Matthew 23 and verse 23. Jesus was speaking now, and he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. He wasn't speaking against the paying of tithes, but he was telling us that there are things that are weightier than that. Now, there are churches I could preach this in tonight that would probably tar and feather me. But I don't think you'll do that here. But judgment, to do justly. Mercy.
Yes.
Micah said to love mercy. And he said, faith. And Micah said, to walk humbly with thy God.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are the same thoughts carried over from the Old Testament. It tells me again that God never changes. He's always the same.
Yes, sir.
And it was true in Micah's day. And it was true in Jesus' day when he was among us. And it's true today. So he said, he has shewed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Jesus substituted the word faith here. Could I say they're interchangeable? Do you love humility? Do you consider yourself blessed when you're abased? It's quiet. Glory.
Yes.
Humbly in the Hebrew means to humiliate. How many of you loves to feel humiliated? Not I.
Not I.
I don't like to feel humiliated.
No, no.
But wasn't Jesus humiliated?
Oh, yes.
Didn't they treat him badly?
Oh, yes.
When they handled him so roughly before they crucified him, and when they hung him on that cross, he wasn't clothed. I studied art. There are many paintings, sculptures of the crucifixion. All of them have a little bit of modesty. But I don't much think he had any. Humiliated before all men, the Son of God. But what an example for you and I. The apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. Oh my. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, we put greater trust in Him. Greater trust comes from those that are so lowly that they realize they must have help. And so they turn to the Lord with an humble heart.
Oh, yes.
I have heard preachers I could call names, and I'm not, that have preached, and I'm not disagreeing, but they seem to emphasize that when you fall in need, that if you can just get low enough, God will hear you and He'll work. But it sounds like they're telling me that it's when I'm in trouble.
Well,
but I wonder if it's not a place where we should walk continually in that low estate. Oh, help me, Lord, tonight. James, in his writing in the 4th chapter, he asked a question in verse 5, said, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Brother, I want the help of God. And if pride will cause Him to resist me, let me find the place where He will give grace. Because I need His grace, don't you? And He gives grace to the humble. I have noticed that our natural teachings from the time we're just babes throughout most of our life, we do not teach one another to be humble. But we teach each other to be independent, to do what you want to do. In our public schools, they tell our children there can be any one of you here can be president. You can do what you want to do. It is a teaching of America, and it has taken root, and we are a proud people today. Oh, so proud we are. But God resisted the proud. And He gives grace to the humble. Oh, my. God hates a proud look. He looked upon a wicked people one time, and He saw where it began. He looked upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and He said that this was their sin. Pride was the first thing.
America, the ones who really need help can seldom get it. And she became whole and committed abomination. And God said, I took her away as it seemed good. Oh my. The beginning of the downfall of mankind is pride. The way for our faith to be increased is through humility. God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace unto the humble. There was some that came to Jesus in Mark 10 and 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. There's so many scriptures in God's word that tangles us up sometimes with life, that we feel like maybe we're doing well. Glory. Brother Rich, I don't have much to boast of in my walk with God. But there's one thing that I can say. I have done my best to follow his will. I may have missed it, and I'm sure I have at times. But it wasn't because that I wasn't caring. I was trying to find his will.
Oh, yes.
But I realize, Brother Moore, that God is not indebted to me for one solitary thing.
No.
He owes me nothing.
That's right.
But I owe him everything.
Oh, yes.
There is no part of my life that I could hold back and not give to him. For I owe him my all.
Oh, yes, I do.
It don't leave much of a place for pride that I can see.
Right.
And yet, I'm preaching to me again tonight. I don't like to be humiliated.
Oh, no.
There's been a banker or two that humiliated. I walked away feeling just about like that. And somebody said one time I felt so low I could walk under a speck. There's been other times that I felt such humiliation. And it's not a good feeling to this old man. But if that's where my faith is increased,
well,
oh Lord. Increase my faith.
My.
To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. When Jesus came and first began his earthly ministry, he started with what we have called the Sermon on the Mount. And he gave us some blessings with that first utterance from his mouth. And we have called those the Beatitudes. Look at them just a moment. Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. All of these things speaks of an humble life. There is no place for pride here. He does not mention this. But every one of these things we've termed the Beatitudes speaks to a lowly life. Wouldn't you like to have that we need to overcome this world?
That when we have done all that we are commanded to do,
now listen, all that we can say, I'm just an unprofitable servant. I wondered what it would have been like to have been born in slavery. And you know that in America, for a long, long time, we had great slavery. People were born. Most of them did not even know when their birthday was. Many of them did not know who their daddy was. They were taken sometimes away from families that they never saw mama again. They were told what to do every day. They never had a choice. When they got finished with everything they were supposed to be doing, they were still just an unprofitable servant. My. I'm sorry, brother. This is what I had. Glory. And we come along and you and I have seen a time of the greatest prosperity that America has ever known. It has enabled us to be independent. It has enabled us to be showy. To have fine things, to have marvelous things. And what has it done to our faith? Instead of bringing us closer to God with greater trust, we've learned to trust in many other things instead of God. But that humility. There's a promise there. Humble yourself,
yes,
under the mighty hand of God,
yes,
and He will exalt you.
He will exalt you.
In due time,
He will.
What was it James said? That He shall lift you up.
Lift you up.
What a promise if we could just humble ourselves to receive the promise of God.
Yes.
Joseph went down to Egypt not of his own choice. He was sold as a slave.
That's right.
He was put in service in a man's home and was faithful to that man.
Yes, he was.
And yet the devil tried to destroy him through a wicked woman.
Yeah.
He was put in jail.
Yes, he was.
And spent time there.
Yeah.
You
And yet, while he was there,
he could see the greatness of God and knew that he was going to stay faithful to him no matter what. But a day came when the Pharaoh called him out.
Yes.
And when he answered the questions he wanted him to answer, he set him as the second ruler in the kingdom.
Praise God.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work of the Lord.
What
yes,
a great blessing there is
yes.
in being humble. And what destruction there is in being proud. Whew. How about us tonight? Would you like to ask the Lord that question? Lord, increase our faith.
Increase my faith.
Has the Lord ever answered you like you thought he should? Probably not. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than ours. Oh, he's answered me a million times. But it wasn't the way that I...
Not the way I went.
That day over in the field of praying... Young Christian, hadn't been saved maybe a year. And the Lord said, it's time to quit that job. And I probably told you about that. Best job I ever had. So I went and quit. And then I didn't know what I was going to do. Karen asked me after a few days, said, what are you going to do? The Lord didn't tell me that. He just said, quit. So I started to work in a few days through my old form that had worked many years. He did what I told him to do, and now then, I'm going to do what he tells me. Don't you love humility? It goes against the grain of the flesh.
Yes, it does.
It goes against the teaching of America.
Right. Yes.
Oh, my. We've got holiness preachers now that are preaching the plan of prosperity. Oh, my. And I read, if any man come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We have gotten tired of an humble life. And so our church world today is ready for a prideful life. Whew. But is God ready for us to do that? I'm afraid that we need to look our lives over again every once in a while. I know I do. And I realize when I do, I'm not near as humble as I might have thought it was. That I could really use some humiliation to put me in my place. Oh my, but that ain't fun, is it? But oh, if after a while the Lord would just lift me up. If he would exalt me at some place. And I'm not caring if it's in this life. If he'll exalt me in that world to come. And just say, enter in to the joy of the Lord. That's all I'll be interested in. But I just felt like maybe a day or two back, the Lord was talking to me about this. And I really didn't expect to preach here tonight. But
I hope that I haven't heard anything. But I feel like that we need to look our lives over again. And when we have done all that we've been commanded, we can't take any pride in that. There's nothing to boast of. Where is boasting? It is excluded. There's no place for boasting among us in the house of God. And so we must humble ourselves. May the Lord bless you, Steve.
All right. Well, let's have a prayer meeting about tomorrow. Church.
Thank you, Jesus.